Hi, hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor with the Wusas and email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Hey listeners, welcome to Email Marketing Experiments, and I am here with the amazing Prerna, sales strategist, conversion copywriter, and co-founder of Content Bistro. Now, before I go into the one email marketing strategy you've tried that's been working recently, I have two questions for you. So I know you love traveling because I did go through your Instagram and I've been following you for a while. What's been your most memorable destination recently?
Most memorable destination recently, I would say for our family as a whole, it has to be Thailand. Even though we did London before that, London was 2022, and we love London as well. But we've been to Thailand so many times. We've been to Bangkok, Phuket. We've been to Khao Lak, Koh Samui. So we've we love Thailand. We love the hospitality, the weather, the food. So I'd safely say as far as travel goes, we love Thailand for sure.
I was just waiting to see if you mentioned the food because I've heard great things about it. All right. So to my second question, you have worked with 600 plus clients, including industry icons like Pat Flynn, D. Amy Porterfield, Vanessa Lau, Copy Hackers, and many others to achieve 6- and 7-figure launches with recurring revenue. What's that like?
Well, it's both a joy and I would say it's also very exciting to be a part of amazing launches, these amazing evergreen funnels, working with entrepreneurs across the world doing different things. It is definitely what it's like. It's like getting paid to do the things that you absolutely love to do. So it's an absolute joy.
That's amazing. Now, you've been building your multiple six-figure copywriting business for, I think, 14 years, if I'm not mistaken, as co-founder and creator of the wildly popular Strategy First Sales Program, Ready to Sell. And you've also helped entrepreneurs and course creators generate more profit in their business by helping them sell more courses using strategy, conversion science, and buyer psychology. So what's the one email strategy you've tried out recently that's been working really well for you?
Well, for us, there are quite a few. And I know you and I have kind of talked about this earlier as well. But I would say one of the strategies that's worked really well across niches for our clients has been implementing a sales-focused welcome sequence.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I'm just curious, right? Because you said sales-focused welcome sequence. A lot of times we hear of welcome sequence and they tend to follow like a pretty general formula. And people want to hold on selling, build up by maybe email 3, and then go into selling and all of that if you follow like some of the formulas that have been taught by the people at the top. So I'm curious, what initially inspired you to explore a sales focused welcome sequence instead of the typical, you know, build no like and trust factor before you start selling the welcome sequence?
So a sales focused welcome sequence does build authority, but at the same time it helps people who may be new to your world to see how you can help them accomplish the results that you help them do. So it helps sell as well. It does not skip over the steps of building trust or building a relationship with our audience, because that is the cornerstone, that is the foundation. At the same time, what we realize that is in a lot of cases with a lot of buyers, and that's where, you know, buyer psychology and both conversion come into play, is a lot of buyers prefer knowing about the brand. And sometimes when they come into your world, when they sign up for your welcome sequence, they already follow you on social, so they do know about your brand, right? And they enjoy actually getting to know about your offers, sometimes to buy right away and sometimes to just kind of park in their back pockets so that they know that this is what they can reach out to you for. A lot of our buyers today are more aware about how a marketing funnel works. What we found, at least with clients that we work in, and this is like clients who are course creators, they own memberships. What we found, even in niches that are not marketing or not B2B focused, we found that people coming into our world know how a, you know, quote unquote, a funnel works. They actually appreciate if you would let them know right off the bat that, hey, whenever you're ready, or if you're looking for help with this, I can help you with this. So a sales-focused welcome sequence goes ahead and helps you fast-track those purchases, helps you help those buyers at a time when they're, you know, ready to be helped. And that was sales-focused welcome sequence in a nutshell. It does build trust. It does build authority. It does build that connection, but it also leads to a conversion.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And I'm just wondering, is there like a backstory to the sales-focused welcome sequence? Was there maybe a challenge or a gap you noticed? And then you were like, let's try this other approach.
So the backstory essentially comes from, you know, what I shared a little while ago. We realized that people were entering the world of our clients, like they were signing up for their lead magnets. I'll give you an example. So a food blogger that I wrote copy for her program, they were planning a live launch and all that, which is great. But there were also a lot of people who were signing up for all of her different lead magnets from different blog posts, because in the food blogging world, if you'll go to, like, say, any food blog, you'll find that they have not just one opt-in, which is very, you know, usually true of most B2B marketers. But in the blogging, in the creator world, you'll find that they have multiple opt-ins from a food perspective. If they're talking about cookies, they'll have a cookie-specific opt-in. If they're talking about cakes, they'll have a cake-specific opt-in. So there are like multiple opt-ins people are coming in from, right? And what was happening when we did research is we realized that not all of them, like, they would sign up for these opt-ins and they would have no idea about this blogger's cookbooks. They would have no idea about her courses. So when launch would come, most of them would be like, okay, yes, we would have the pre-launch, we would have priming, we would do all of those things, but it would catch most of them unawares. And the reason for not signing up would be like, it wasn't the right time for me. I would have bought it a month ago, all of that. So this was just one example. And we realized that what if we had a welcome sequence linked to these opt-ins, whether a single opt-in, and helped our audience not only get to know the creator or the brand, but also how they can help them with their paid offers, whether that's a book, whether that's a membership site, whether that's a course. And that was the problem that we set out to solve, is like, how can we help these new to us folks get to know what we do as a business right off the bat? And honestly, if you think about it, it makes sense, right? So let me use the analogy of a restaurant. So you walk into a restaurant, whoever's at the desk, you know, welcome you and like take you to your table. And then your server comes in, they introduce themselves, they, you know, tell you what the specials are. That's till the time they're, you know, introducing themselves, till the time that you're taking in the ambiance and all of that. You may have heard about this restaurant from friends, so it's not like you're entirely cold, but you come in, they present the menu to you. Most menus I've seen have like either a little, you know, brief section about what kind of inspired the menu, or even the restaurant itself, the backstory, and then they get straight to the, you know, like, okay, here are the appetizers and all. It's almost like a mini welcome sequence condensed, right? It's like, okay, you've got someone welcoming you, you've got someone asking you, okay, have you been here before? I'm going to be your server. Here's what I recommend, or the specials of the day are, and here's, you know, our menu. A sales-focused welcome sequence is essentially doing the same thing. It's welcoming you in. It's, you know, telling you a little about the creator or the brand. It's giving you insight into, you know, what's great here. So here's some of our free content. Here's some of our great resources. Here's what you signed up for. And now here's what we can help you with.
I love it. I love it. And why I love it even more is because your brand name is Content Bistro. And if people go through your website, they see that there's this restaurant kind of vibe. I think it was one of the things that really stood out to me. So you have like the rolling pins, the baking, like, you know, shows like your passion. And then now you just used, you know, like a restaurant food business to do like the example. So it was like so on brand for me, because I'm just thinking of your website, thinking of how your website even follows this same approach in terms of like menu and all of that. So putting it together in my head, the example just made even more sense. I like how we've started going into what the sales-focused welcome sequence is about and what it aims to achieve. So now I want us to look more into the details in terms of For example, in a sales-focused welcome sequence, I know that the number of emails may differ by industry or by niche, but how many emails are we looking at? And then is there a format to the way the emails flow? For example, maybe email one is to do this, and then email two is to do that.
Sure. So one of the things that we found is that the 5 to 7 email sequence generally works well, but we do have a bit of segmentation and conditional messaging included. So the flow of emails essentially starts by, of course, you know, when giving them what they signed up for. Sometimes, like I said, it could be a freebie. Sometimes it could be a discount code. Sometimes it could be something else altogether. So you give them that. And then, of course, you introduce yourself and you, you know, tell a little about either your story or how the particular opt-in came about, like why did you create, was behind it, you know. So this some amount of storytelling going, you introduce yourself, we preferably want to link to your about page, and you encourage them to reply to you with either what motivated them to sign up or what, you know, what are they hoping to learn from you. So you want to start that conversation. So like I said, connection is at the foundation, like building that relationship is at the foundation of the sales focus welcome sequence. And then of course, in the next couple of emails, you continue to talk about not just the story, but also what's the problem that your business is looking to solve and how are you doing that? So here in the second email, we ideally want to link to, and we do that, we link to podcast appearances. We link to either a YouTube video or a blog post that kind of encapsulates what the brand is looking to do, what is the key problem they're solving, what's their, you know, their big why, because we want people who are new to the world to understand what our mission or what our vision with the business is all about, what are our values, what do we stand for, all of that. And then again, in the third email, what we're trying to do is we're picking a fight. I wouldn't say picking a fight with a competition per se, but picking a fight with what's not, you know, what's not right in their world, you know, picking a fight. What is it that they are struggling with and why is that happening? We're kind of helping them see, okay, this is not how it should be. Here's how it should be. The offer per se, in the first email, we don't really talk about the offer. In the second email, we link to the offer in the PS, but it's not really the front sender. In the third email, we move it into the body of the email where we kind of talk about like, listen, this is what we're picking a fight with. And here's how we're doing it. And that is when we kind of link to the offer or the offers that we're, you know, promoting in the sequence. The fourth and the fifth emails mainly focus on social proof, on answering their questions that they may have about the brand or the offer itself. And at the same time, we do keep that conversation going. We, in every email, are encouraging them to either tap reply. And we make it a point to reply to those emails, like whether it's customer support that's doing it, whether it's the creator themselves. Point is, we do want our subscribers to know that there's a human at the end of the equation. Now, so those are like the 5 emails in a nutshell. Some of them would be, you know, spread across 2 emails. So you may have like a couple of emails with social proof and questions. You may have a more detailed email about your story. So we kind of mix and match these. And, you know, there's like, I don't do templates. I generally look at the overarching strategy, the overarching story of the brand. What is it that we're looking to accomplish with this welcome sequence and kind of go from there. So that's why I don't really have like, oh, email one has to be this or email two has to be that. But this is more like a loose guideline for our listeners. That said, like I said at the beginning, we do have segmentation and conditional messaging as well. So in many cases, at least for our clients, what we found is that they don't have just one ideal client profile. They have multiple clients. So in that first email, if we haven't already segmented them at the time of sign up, which in some cases is not happening in the past because, you know, people set up their opt-in forms, they just have name and email address, and there we go. And we've like just segmented them into going back to say the you know, the food blogger experience. Like we may have them like, okay, signed up for the cookie app opt-in or signed up for one pot dinners, but we don't know much about them beyond that fact. We don't know whether they're seasoned bakers or, as you know, whether they're a parent or they're a single person, whether they, you know, so we don't have that kind of information about them at the time of signing up. In our first email, our goal is to kind of understand what our audience needs from us so that we can segment them. And then what we want to do is you want to pick one or two problems that your offer can solve. So your segmentation is kind of based on that. And when you have those two problems there, you segment your audience And then in the subsequent emails, I do include conditional messaging speaking to those segments. So instead of writing like separate emails for like different segments, sometimes what we do is we just use conditional messaging. Again, to use the same example to keep it clearer for people, let's say you've signed up for a recipe for the best chocolate chip cookie, right? Now, you get that recipe. In the first email, I ask you, okay, have you, because I know that I have two different offers, one that can help a beginner baker and one that can help a more advanced baker. In my first email, I ask, okay, have you just recently started baking, or, you know, are you fairly new to baking? Click here and I'll send you custom resources for that. And the next one would be, let me know if you've been baking for, say, more than 3 years, or, you know, you consider yourself an advanced baker. Tap here and I'll send you. So we just, you know, do this like a little bit of link segmenting in the first email, and that kind of tags them. So in the subsequent emails, when I'm sending them additional resources, I would have conditional messaging saying if segment is, or if tag is beginner baker, then this shows up. If tag is seasoned baker, this shows up.
That's pretty neat. I love it. One thing I've seen with this kind of segmenting is the fact that some people don't want to miss out on anything. So you see someone who is a beginner baker, clicks the link of beginner baker, and still goes ahead to click the link of seasoned baker, just to see what it is that you're going to send that's different. So how would you handle such a thing?
Yeah, no, and that is human psychology at play, right? Like, we don't want to miss out, so we want to get them both. Couple of ways that we've done this in the past, and again, these are not foolproof. I'm sure people kind of find a way around it, is one, what we do is we let them know that they need to click only on one of those, so we can then send them the best possible resources. We also let them know that, you know, if you click on both, you'll only get resources for the one that you clicked at the end, you know, the last clicked one. So, because what we can do in the background is then if they click on beginner baker, it adds the tag beginner baker. But the moment they click on seasoned baker, it removes the beginner baker tag and only includes the seasoned baker tag. So we give them that heads up. So either which ways, they're only getting one. And the reason for that is also because in the past, what I was doing was, and I still do that for a lot of clients where, you know, we have more segments and conditional messaging can get really messy, is we have separate segment specific sequences set up. So if they were to click, because, you know, this kind of works well if you've got like maybe two different segments, at the most I would say three, because I've used it with three as well, but more than that, it can get really messy. So what we do is then we have segment specific sequences going out. And what that was doing is that people were getting multiple emails, right? Even if we kind of have them spread across different days, the same subscriber, because they clicked on, say, all four links, all five links, they were in five different sequences. Was like horrible user experience. It defeats the purpose of helping our audience. It defeats the goal of getting more information. So we just let them know that, you know, whichever one they click last is the one that would get resources from.
I like it. I like it, because then they have to really sit back and think like, which one do I really need the most and right now? So that's really good. Now, with this sequence that we're looking at, is there, say, a particular point where you notice that results tend to peak or spike from like this particular, maybe like from email 3 or email 2, that kind of thing?
Yeah. The social proof email is the one that gets us the most number of sales so far, like what we've seen across the board, which is why even though, and this is surprising, because even though we have social proof form or the other included in every email, I'm a big fan of doing that. The email that has a dedicated 1 to 2 case studies or customer success stories mentioned, that's the one that gets the most. And then, of course, the one at the end. The one at the end is what I like to call it the bridge email, where we just let them know that, hey, we've reached the end of this particular journey, getting to know each other. Going forward, you would get weekly emails, or, you know, whatever is the frequency of the email newsletters that our clients would be sending out. Just wanted to let you know, like, if you want to go ahead and get your hands on, say, this cookbook or this course or whatever, you can do that. Now, here's the interesting thing. These sales-focused welcome sequences, we do not treat them like an evergreen funnel, in the sense that we don't have a time-sensitive discount or a timer ticking below saying, okay, you know, you've only got like, say, X number of hours to get this. So we don't treat it like a evergreen sales funnel. We do treat it like a welcome sequence in the sense that we are welcoming them into our world, but we do have a sales focus there. So there is no deadline funnel in the background or anything like that. But we do give them a heads up that going forward, this is what you'll get, you know. The good thing is most of our clients add on the Nurtured for Sales newsletter, which is the, you know, which has been another strategy we've been using successfully. So they are still going to hear about their offers pretty much every week. But we've noticed that at last email where we're letting them know what's coming up and that, you know, if they still wanted to get their hands on this course or this ebook or get into the membership, they can still do that. That's the other one. So it's kind of in keeping with what we've seen even in the launch world, right? Where, you know, like emails that are more social proof focused do get the sales funnel.
Wow. I think I really like this thing about social proof because as you said it, I remember that one particular email I try to do when I'm doing like launches is the social proof only email. Where I have this email where I say, meet XYZ person. And then it's like a story really just about that person or two people. And I noticed that a lot of people tend to really like when they see like full stories, social proof, not just, oh, this person said this. I really see how that works because then they are getting into the world of the person. So having the same approach in the welcome sequence, I already see how that works a lot. And it's really amazing how we can use like bias psychology, behavior, the things we've seen people do to be able to work on our emails, to be able to, you know, drive conversions and drive results. So a lot of times some people don't have lead magnets in the typical way, a freebie, a masterclass. We have where people have like an email course, like the one that you have, right? So the email course is, let's say, a 5-day series where you're giving them one thing daily. How do you now bring or integrate this with the sales focus welcome sequence?
Pretty much the same way. In fact, you could see it in action if you were to sign up for our email course is there's value, there's social proof, and there's a call to action to, you know, sign up for an email strategy session. So it works pretty much the same way. So you're still giving value, you're still giving you're sharing your story, you're sharing why you've created this particular, you know, piece of content that's part of the course. So, and then you're also including social proof to show, you know, like, okay, this, so I'll give you an example. For instance, in my email course, you'll find I'm talking about, you know, the client who I implemented a Nurtured for Sales newsletter for, or who I implemented something else for, and then kind of linking it to the piece of content that they can then, or the tip or the strategy that they can then use for their business. But then I'm also inviting them to sign up for a strategy session if they would like my help with, you know, mapping that out for them. So you could treat it the same way. At least that's what I have done for our brand. That said, if you want, what you could do is you have like, say, a 5-day email course, and then you could tack on after the email course a 5-day sales focused welcome sequence. That said, I feel that would, you know, because by then you've already taught them a lot, they've gotten to know you better. I would, in fact, then if you do want to do something, I would just have like a mini sales sequence or a mini flash sales sequence attached to it instead of another welcome sequence. Your email course should do the job of building that trust, or building that know, like, trust factor, or building that authority. And I don't see why I can't do the selling for you as well.
That's great. And I was wondering, you touched on it a bit, right? When we're doing the sales focus welcome sequence, there are two things. One is we see the same people do that, you know, has become quite popular, where you have the email and then you have what the email is focused on. And then at the bottom, you have, when you're ready, here's how you chat with me. So that's one side of it. Then the other side of it I want to now ask is the sales focus welcome sequence focusing on selling one particular thing per segment, or, you know, we're doing something like, here's how you can work with me, and we have multiple offers?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of emails and a lot of email newsletters these days include what's called the super signature, or, and what else it's called, but that's, you know, what I've heard it been called. And that's great. These are more segment specific or audience specific offers. So you in a sales focus welcome sequence, you're driving sales to a particular product or particular service that you know would work best for someone who signed up for this particular lead magnet.
Okay, so that's great. So now let's look into not just how it is you've executed this in terms of tools, but the results, right? So when you are doing this sales focused welcome sequence, I know that one of your favorite tools is ConvertKit NowKit. Are there other tools that are recommended to create a sales focused welcome sequence?
I would say that's pretty much all you need is a good ESP, whether you go with ConvertKit or Kit, or you go with anyone else. You want to make sure that it has the functionality you need to allow for, you know, segmentation, to allow for, if you do want to use conditional messaging, to allow for, you know, of course, like basic automation and tagging and all of that. You just need a good ESP, and of course you would want, you know, other than that, you need, you've got your own content bank, your whether it's, you know, you've got your own, you know, social and your own website and anywhere else that you want to send people to. But it's one of those low-lift strategies, you know, where you don't really need a lot to execute it.
That's great, because I mean, for me personally, one of the things I'm doing this year and moving forward is like keeping things simple. And I think it really goes a long way where you can do many things with one thing than having to have like these very bizarre.
Absolutely.
So in terms of results for the sales focus welcome sequence, what have you noticed work in terms of, like, the opens, the clicks, the conversion rates across, you know, trying it multiple times?
Yeah, so the opens and the CTRs are pretty much at par, but we found what interestingly was that with the initial opens are always the highest, right? And then sometimes like a welcome sequence, open rates tend to taper off. With a sales focused welcome sequence, we found that the open rates, in fact, sometimes even go up in the middle of a sequence. Like I said, you know, with the social proof email, because you're talking about a person, it's more story, we've noticed a spike in our open rates as well, which has been great for our clients. And so that's been one interesting insight. And then the other interesting insight has, of course, been that our clients are seeing more sales for offers that they were otherwise not seeing, you know, and they would either be like part of a sales funnel or a evergreen sales sequence, evergreen, you know, launch or whatever. But now what's happening is people are signing up for their opt-in, and they're signing up for their offers, and they're enjoying engaging with them. Because like I said, every email is, you know, based on engagement, encouraging them to connect with us, encouraging them to take this conversation forward, either by replying or with social, just depending on, you know, what our client preferences are. So that's like also led to fairly high open rates for our clients for a welcome sequence, which generally we've noticed, you know, is like your first email highest open rates, but then it kind of tends to dip down.
That's good. I mean, yeah, I've seen the pattern of the open rates tapering down, but seeing that pattern where it goes up, flattens out a bit, and then goes up again, that's a really interesting one. It's not something you see commonly. Now, this particular approach, I've heard you talk about food, the blogging industry, creators and coaches. Is this something you can also do in, let's say, software as a service?
100%. I don't see why not. When you go to an e-commerce site and they say, oh, get 10% off on your first order with us, you know, and they have that email pop up. So I don't see why, when they send you that 10%, why they cannot have a sales focused welcome sequence of at least 5 to 7 emails that would not only help their prospective customer get to know the brand better and the products better, but also, instead of just that one and done email where they may not even then remember to make that purchase, because very often with e-commerce businesses, at least that's what, and I'm talking about myself both as a buyer and as someone who has in the past written for e-commerce businesses, people don't generally make a decision right away. You know, they would sign up, someone's told them about this website, or they've seen the ad. Like in my case, for instance, I see an ad on Instagram. I like what I see. I check out the website. I go to the website. I would sign up to get that discount code. And then I would promptly forget about it or think about it. Like, okay, I'll come back to it and buy it later when I need it. Or, you know, like right now, I don't need to say stock up on something. So I don't really want to make a purchase right now. And then I forget all about that 10% discount. Now, imagine if I were to get pretty much an email from them every day for the next, say, 5 days or 6 days, connecting with me, engaging with me, asking me more questions, and reminding me that, remember, you have this 10% that you can still use. Here are, based on what you've told us about yourself, here are some of our products that would make the best fit for whatever it is you're looking to do. So let's say I'm looking to buy skincare products. And in the first email, they asked me about my, say, you know, what's my current skincare routine like? Do I have it all thought out? Am I looking to change products? And then based on, say, I'm looking to change my, you know, nighttime routine or whatever, like I'm just making it up right now. But in the next email, they could have specific products. Wouldn't that make me go, okay, yeah, let me think about it. You know, let me go ahead, check this product. I already have like a coupon code that I can use to save. What do I have to lose? So I think, in fact, for e-commerce businesses and for software as well, like same rules, there's a lot, 100% they could use it.
Nice. That's really great. Now, for our listeners who are interested in trying out this approach, right, what would be your top 3 tips for implementing a sales-focused welcome sequence effectively? And then on the other hand, I've heard you say a lot of things. And one thing I've really picked out is the fact that we are using the rule of one. So we have one lead magnet, one messaging, and one offer, in the sense that depending on where they're coming from, you want to use your conditional messaging and your link segmentation to give them what they need best. So right person, right offer, right time, that kind of thing. So that's one thing that has really stood out in this conversation. So I'm thinking, how can somebody implement this? What would be your top 3 tips? And what are common pitfalls or mistakes you think people should be careful about to avoid shifting from the sales-focused welcome sequence back into like the generic?
Yeah, great question here. So first, you definitely want to be very clear on what's the path that your opt-ins are taking people down, you know. So sometimes what happens is we create these multiple opt-ins because we are excited by the idea, which is great. And I've seen this a lot in the creator world, not so much maybe in the B2B world, but in the creator world, you know, people just create an opt-in like, okay, yeah, I've got this blog post. It's on travel outfits. Let me have a PDF with a downloadable outfit planner for this. Now I have a post on travel tech. Let me have an opt-in on the, you know, the 10 most important tech tools you should have with you when you're traveling. So you get my point, right? So we create these opt-ins, and when we start to think about, okay, how do these all kind of integrate, it gets really confusing. So you want to pick those 1 to 3, at the most maybe 5, you know, but not more than that, because you don't want to get too confusing. So maybe 3 of the opt-ins that really are tailored to the person who would be perfect for your different offers. So maybe you find like, okay, the person signing up for my best chocolate chip cookie recipe would be perfect for my cookbook, but the person signing up for how to make an amazing birthday cake recipe would be great for my membership that teaches them all different types of cakes. But this opt-in that I have here, you know, someone signing up for, let's say, how to make great savory snacks, you know, how to bake savory snacks, I don't really have anything, you know, where I could send them. They may be a good fit for my membership, and then focus on the 2 opt-ins that make the most sense in terms of a buyer journey. So instead of wanting to fix everything, pick the 2 opt-ins that make the most sense. That is 1 to 3 opt-ins, basically. Pick the opt-in that makes the most sense. That is number 1. Number 2 is be really clear on who you're speaking to, because remember, we want our offers to meet our buyers where they're at and help them with what they need specifically. So you want to be very clear about who you're speaking to so you can segment them accordingly. And then number 3 is, of course, make sure that your offer makes the most sense for them. So your offer needs to be strong. You could have the best sales sequence. It could make like logical sense. It could use everything. But if your offer is not compelling enough, you know, if your offer is weak, or if your offer lacks the right positioning, setting up the sequence is not going to help. So like all sales strategists, I would say start with your opt-in, but start with your offer and then build the sequence. So those are the three things I would definitely want you to keep in mind in terms of pitfalls to avoid. Something you want to kind of avoid as well is overstuffing your sequence, making it way too long. You're not writing a novel, you're writing an email. Keep it to the point. Send them to logical places on your website instead. So instead of sharing your entire life story, your backstory in an email, link them up to your about page. Or maybe you've done an Instagram reel talking about how you got started. So use your link strategically. Like, the sales focus welcome sequence does not need to be like a long drawn thing. It needs to be to the point. It needs to build that trust factor. It needs to be engaging. And people read emails on their mobiles all the time. So you want to make sure you're respecting their time and they're not just going, okay, when are we ending? And so that's something you want to kind of avoid as well. Other thing you want to definitely avoid is don't overcomplicate it. It is simpler than you think. Just kind of, like I said, think about what would make the most sense for someone who is signing up and inviting themselves into your world? What would make the most sense for them? And then go from there.
That's great. I think for me, that's like the biggest takeaway. Don't overcomplicate it, because everything still boils down to keeping it simple. And you just touched on one of the questions I was planning on asking you, because you said, don't make it so long. People are reading on their mobile phones. True. But we have schools of thought that say, oh, you know, long emails, write for your audience and some other people. So you see people write emails that are like maybe 5 lines to 3 paragraphs. And they're the Benzetto kind of people who give you the tested kind of email thing. So long emails, short emails, which do you prefer?
It's the same opinion that I have on long copy versus short copy. You need to look at what will work best for your audience, what will work best for your brand. And the length of the copy does not matter as much as, again, how engaging and compelling it is. If your brand is known for writing in-depth, long emails, go for it. You know, I read a lot of long emails, yes, on my mobile, because A, I associate it with that particular brand. B, even when long, it is so engaging, it keeps me hooked right till the end. And at the same time, there are so many newsletters I enjoy that are so brief and so to the point. Some of them are just, you know, like a couple of lines. And then there's a link to go if you want to go check out more resources. I love those as well, because, again, that's what I associate with that particular creator. So think about your audience, think about your brand, and then think about, you know, like, okay, what makes the most sense? But whether you write long or whether you write short, make it engaging, make it interesting, make it worth their time. So when people ask me, oh, long sales pages or short sales pages, well, we are seeing short sales pages perform way better in several niches, but that's also because the audience there would want a short sales page. So yeah, start there.
All right. That's really powerful advice right there. Now, you've been called a master of your craft by the platform. You have, because I mean, I did check out your stuff. But you have this amazing, and I'm on your email list, by the way. I totally love your emails. You have this free 5-day course to increase sales without launches, funnels, ads, or affiliates. And for our listeners, you can sign up and get the first strategy right now by using the link in the show notes, right, to get this 5-day free course to increase your sales. But what really struck me was the fact that you said without launches, funnels, ads, or affiliates, which are a lot of the top things that people do to be able to increase sales. For example, you know that when you're launching this season, you're definitely increasing your revenue. When you bring in affiliates, it means more people, more revenue. And when you, you know, turn on the ads and the funnels, same thing. And now you're saying we can increase sales, right, without doing any of these things. I'm curious, why did you specifically highlight these?
So here's the thing. I love all of those. I love live launches. I write for a lot of live launches. In fact, I'm working on a great live launch right now. I love evergreen funnels. I love ads. I love affiliates. I love all of that. I want people to also see that there are options beyond that, right? So if you don't want to use a live launch, you don't want to use an ad, you don't want to run an evergreen funnel, you can still increase your sales. And that's why we're talking about, you know, how to sell more courses. So I'm not saying don't do those things. Do those things if you have to. Like, do those things if you want to. Absolutely, big fan of those. But you also have other sales opportunities, and it's so important that you go ahead and use those.
Okay. So for our listeners, if you want to get instant access to this 5-day free email course, and you want to discover 5 secret strategies to 5x your course sales without ads, for those who aren't ready to run ads or funnels, for some of us who don't want to get into that whole tech of, you know, creating your funnels and all those pages, and you don't want to do the live launches because maybe it stresses you and it's time consuming, and you don't know how to do affiliates yet, please go ahead, use the link in the show notes, sign up, and you will get the first strategy instantly and 4 months ago. And let me tell you the best part. When you sign up, you actually get to see the sales focus welcome sequence in action. Yeah, definitely. You get to see it in action. So it doesn't just come at this conversation, but now you're seeing it and you can begin to identify every single thing that we have talked about. Now to my next question. What's your best subject line tip for getting those open rates up?
I recorded this for you. That has worked so well for so many of our clients because we include a little video message. And in fact, even in my, you know, the 5X course, there is a video message. I'm not using that, the I recorded this for you thing, but yeah, that works really well. But I also have another strategy, which is first name of the recipient, meet first name of the person whose social proof or success story I'll be including in the email. That's the other one that's worked really well. So it would be, you know, Prerna, meet Nick, that kind of a thing.
Oh, wow. That's a really nice one there. Okay. So we've talked about people doing seasonal lead magnets, evergreen lead magnets. Which one would you lean towards? And what do you have to say about both? So we have seasonal, we have evergreen.
Yeah. So it kind of depends. If you have a seasonal offer, definitely have a seasonal. So let's say you have a great, you know, offer for fall or for winter or the holidays or, you know, a special occasion, definitely have seasonal lead magnets. And then, of course, evergreen is always good. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's always going to be there. Now, I have followed you, and like I said earlier, I'm a big fan of your social media, your blog, your branding. And one thing I heard you talk about a whole lot in 2024 was the importance of resting intentionally. I mean, I remember reading your post about, you know, planning vacations where you're not even at home, like staycations kind of thing. And you really talked about resting intentionally. And I know that this is a conversation that may not come up a lot for creators, but how is it from your experience and you doing business for this, like over a decade, how important is it for creators to pause and recharge in their marketing efforts? And what do you have to say to them?
So, okay, let me just kind of make sure I've gotten this right. You want me to talk a little about the importance of intentionality in rest. Oh my gosh, so important. It's so easy to get caught up in everything that you think you should be doing, everything that you see others are doing, but it is so important to kind of just press pause every now so often and really, you know, like just step back from your business, because stepping back from your business can often be the best thing you need to basically step it up for your business. So really, really important for you to intentionally build a business that supports the life you want to lead. You know, here's the thing. I want to caveat this. There will be seasons of life and stages of business where you will need to go hard, where you will need to put in a lot of effort, where you will need to kind of, you know, it feels like, okay, I am just kind of pushing right now. There will be seasons and stages of business which would require you to do that. But it is so important to realize that going hard or, you know, just kind of pushing through is not sustainable. You cannot keep that up year after year, month after month. You could do it for a short period of time, but you need to be very, very intentional about integrating rest into your routines, into your business itself. You need to be able to step back from your business without feeling like it's going to, you know, like the whole thing's just going to come crumbling down. So really important to do that. In fact, a sales focus welcome sequence can help you do that, you know, because you're not in sales mode all the time, but you have this running in the background. It's still going to be bringing you sales. It's still going to be, you know, making you money while building a better connection with your audience without you having to do that active work all the time.
Wow. I mean, step back and step up. That one really spoke to me. And then especially that I read your post about things that have helped you in this number of years in business. And one of the things you put at the top was support and systems. And you said something just now, the fact that you can step back and not feel like everything is going to crumble down. It means that we need to be so intentional about support and systems so that we can actually step back, right? Get that rest, come back recharged, and be able to do every single thing we want to do. What is your top tip for capturing brand voice? We see a lot of people who write for clients, who write for other people. And one thing I know that clients want is, I mean, I even see on your page too, is they want you to write emails that sound like them. So what's one tip you give our listeners towards that?
Yeah, absolutely. The most important thing you can do is obviously immerse yourself in your clients' creations, in their voice, in their, you know, if they've written a book, read that book, listen to their podcasts, listen to how they sound, not just for, you know, in the written word, but also in the verbal word. Like, what's the pace? What are some of their quirks, that things that they would say all the time, maybe in a podcast, but not so much maybe in the written mechanism. So read what they've written, listen to what they say, immerse yourself in them, talk to them, get to know their story, like really take it in. Becomes that much easier for you to write like them.
Definitely. And you do a lot of baking. In short, you bake up a storm in the kitchen. I used to run a cake business. I don't know how many people know that. So I know the joy that can come with baking and how everywhere smells of cakes and goodies. And it's just so it could be stressful sometimes in the sense that you are actually working, but then it's therapeutic because, you know, this is something you love. And I've seen a ton of baked goods on your page. So I'm curious, what is your favorite thing to bake?
Favorite thing to bake would have to be cookies. I love baking cookies. I love baking chocolate chip cookies. And a reason I love baking them is A, because you can bake a big batch of them. You can freeze them. You can always have cookies at hand. Yeah, I love baking cookies.
Now, that's amazing. I do love a good chocolate chip cookie. So before we wrap up this, can you tell us more about what you do and how our listeners can find you and connect with you?
Sure. So I run Content Bistro with my husband, and we've been in business 14 years, and we help creators and business owners increase sales using strategy, conversion science, and buyer psychology. All of this comes together with great copywriting as well. So we would love to connect with you over on Instagram. We are at Content Bistro, or on our website, which is contentbistro.com.
Yeah, you all should go connect with her. Then you will see all the things I've been saying about the baking and the restaurants and the very powerful actionable strategies that they would share on their Instagram page and their blog. Oh my God, the blog has a ton of amazing resources. It's like a whole masterclass that you can just take at your own time. So Prerna, before we wrap this up, do you have any final words or advice you want to give to our audience who are experimenting with the Salesforce welcome sequence or email marketing in general?
Well, my only advice always is to just keep testing things out. You know, you are experimenting, which is great, but you need to keep testing things out. You need to see how can you continue to solve the problem of, you know, whether it's increasing sales, increasing conversions, increasing, you know, trial memberships, whatever the goal that you're looking to accomplish, how can you continue to solve it? Don't be afraid to try new things. This whole episode came about because I wasn't afraid to try something new.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Prerna, for doing this with us and for sharing your insights, especially for taking us behind the scenes of your Sales Focus Welcome Sequence. I'm definitely going to be tweaking my welcome sequences up a bit. And key takeaways for me and our listeners, I believe, would be looking at how the importance of understanding your audience plays in the emails that you write, taking time to focus on one thing, keeping it simple, definitely. I mean, Brenna has outlined the step-by-step of what you should do with your email for the sales focus welcome sequence. And one thing that really stood out is the fact that when you track your data, when you test and track, you get to find out amazing insights. For example, when we talked about how we have a spike at the beginning and then towards the middle, so you know that this is working, before you now talk about the results in terms of driving opens and clicks and sales, right? It's important that you test and you track what it is that you're doing. So I want to encourage our listeners, like this, share it, give us your feedback, shout out on Instagram, and don't forget to connect with Brenna Content Bistro on Instagram. You can literally Google her name and you will see a ton of resources. Google Content Bistro, you will see their website and many more things. Thank you so much for doing this with us, Brenna. It has been a pleasure to have you here on the podcast, Email Marketing Experiment.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome.